Okay. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let us not let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the apostasia first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And we have looked at this many, many times, and this word apostasia is exactly it, is to go apostate. And that's not just saying, you know, God has warned us of the false prophets and the false teachers that would come in the end of the world. But then he speaks of the time of the abomination of desolation. That is the apostasia. That is the time when they have totally, completely, 100% turned away from the truth. And there is no truth found in them no more. The body of Christ is no longer preaching the gospel, but they are being killed all the day long by being silenced from bringing the gospel. And this is the time that Christ is in focus, and this is the time that we are gathering together unto him, collecting together up into the mountain, up into the cloud, come up hither to come closer to the Lord. And it's the time of meat of this season, of due season. It is a very different time period. The Lord even speaks of it as a time that never was and never will be again because of what has taken place. The body of Christ doesn't have an outer shell to dwell within. It has put off its cloak. It's put off its outer clothing. And there is no more covering. And they're just out in the world preaching the gospel. You know, all the way, we go back all the way to Adam, and there has always been an outer shell, an outer covering, a family. And God built that into a nation. And then took the oracles of God from a nation and set it up in another environment that he set up that he called ultimately the what we see as the denominations, the New Testament church, the church age. And God refers to them as nations also. You know, he speaks of the time when nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And the kingdom of Satan rises up against the kingdom of God. But there are many nations. There's the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians. That's the families that's in view, that God has risen up for the purpose of preaching the gospel. But they have put too much faith in their family thinking. They put too much faith in their preachers and teachers. They put too much faith in the works of their church fathers, and wrote books and require again that God that we understand God's word in light of those books, in light of those teachers. And so therefore, they've come to a time of apostasia. The little season, again, the little season we've discovered is a period called during the Great Tribulation, and God speaks of Satan being loosed for a little season. And we know that took place already, and that is referred to as the fifth trumpet of Revelation. And the little season is a time of instruction on. And we're to instruct in the kingdom of God, and we read in Daniel chapter 11 verse 33, "And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame and by captivity and by spoil many days." The little season is a time of making ready, a time of making ready the stones. We read in 1 King chapter 6 verse 7, "And the house when it was in building was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building." And so, you know, during the church age, we saw how the construction of the body of Christ took place in the churches, in the courtyards, in the place where we entered in with praise and thanksgiving, the place where people became sanctified by the hearing of the Word of God, the place we understood as the outer sanctuary, the place we understood as the outer tabernacle, the place we understood as the corporate body. A place we understood as an outer clothing, but on the inner part, on the inner tabernacle, on the inner sanctuary, is the body of Christ. It's where Christ is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it is the body of Christ built up for a dwelling place. We are living stones built up for that dwelling place. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8, we read, "The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it was lightened upon Israel, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that shall it be in the pride of stoutness of heart. The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." And so the building up of the body of Christ, the building of these stones, the building of cedars, this is the work of God. It is he who cuts out the stone by the preaching of the word of God. It is he who brings forth the cedars for the construction of the temple of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read in verse 4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God," and of course that is Christ, "and precious. Ye also as living or as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And so it is a time of making the stones, and again that has been the New Testament era, but now again, even in this time, in these troubled times, it still is a time of making ready the stones. By the edifying of the body, by the preaching of the word of God, and it continues to go forward. In Romans chapter 10, we read in verse 14, "How then shall they call to him on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So God sends preachers and teachers, and the body of Christ assembles. And they declare the word of God, "Thus saith the Lord." They prophesy. They say, "Thus saith the Lord." And they look into God's word, line upon line, precept upon precept. And in that process, it edifies the body of Christ. It builds up the body. It strengthens the body. And the body continues to grow as the Lord adds to his church daily such as should be saved. And of course, that is the true church of God, the body of Christ. It is the invisible church, as we understand it. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we read, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So the little season also is a time of breaking bread. You know, the church age is a time of breaking bread, but the little season is also a time of breaking bread. You know, the apostles did the very same thing when the church age ended, is they got together in little rooms and they gathered together and they broke bread. They continued to assembly themselves together as Christ continued to build his church. And then, of course, during that time period, of course, God set up the rules and how a corporate body was to be, and talked about how to find choose the elders and the pastor and so on and so forth, and had certain requirements on how a church should run. But we're beyond that time period. But during that little time period between the Old Testament church and the New Testament church, they did exactly what we're doing today. They got together in little rooms and they edified the body by breaking bread. And the Word of God is that bread. Look into God's Word, the Bible. We saw in those days that there was a departing out in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, where the Lord said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And we know that he done departed out of the temple. And we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, concerning the day of Pentecost, when it has fully come, they were all, this is verse 1, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And God used this word wind. What was another time he used this word wind? And it was in a conversation with Nicodemus, when he told Nicodemus about those being born again, thou hearest the word and canst not tell, hearest the wind and canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. And such as everyone that is born of the Spirit, they do know and understand and hear. And here God has given us the picture of that mighty wind, and it filleth all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as the fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we know that other tongues really has a two-point focus here. These other tongues was not the tongues as we think about that we're looking at a little earlier, and what we were talking about, I think it was in Corinthians and other places. These tongues here is the language of the kingdom of heaven, is the big focus here. It also speaks of the tongues of the nations of the world, that the language of this gospel will go out to all the language. That's why every man heard in their own tongue the gospel. And the gospel that they heard was not an unknown message, not one that they needed an interpreter by, with the exception, of course, of the Holy Spirit, because that is the true interpreter. But it was the preaching of the gospel, line upon line, precept upon precept. It is the preaching of the Word of God in the language of the kingdom of God. And of course, that's Genesis to Revelations, looking into God's Word in light of God's Word, understanding God's Word by God's Word. In Acts chapter 2, we read in verse 44, and all that believe were together, and they had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. And you know, this focus on this temple, continuing in one accord in the temple, I think really is focusing in on the body of Christ. Continuing in one accord in the body of Christ, and breaking bread from house to house. And that's from family to family. That's getting together in houses and breaking the bread. And the breaking of the bread is the eating of the Word of God, the preaching and teaching of Scriptures, the edifying of the body. And they continue this. We see this in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the Sabbath, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And of course, these many lights identify with the light of the gospel. And this is all in the upper chambers. It is in the high places. But this is the time when the new church was being built and prepared. It was a corporate body being prepared in the wilderness for the edifying of the body of Christ throughout the church age. And so there was plenty of seeding going on and watering going on throughout the land as these new churches, these new corporate bodies were being developed. And of course, God was working in them and adding to his church daily the true body of Christ, such as should be saved. But the little season, again, is a lot like the New Testament church in the very beginning, before the rules were set forth, before the corporate body was organized and God completed up the New Testament. Because we didn't have the rules until until that which is perfect has come. Then those things that were in part were done away with. So there was that transition time. And I think that was a time of an example for us. They continued to gather together, to edify, to build up, to okidom, the body of Christ. Then the body, and that is still the same. The little season is still a time of building up. It's a time of edifying. And how do we build the body of Christ? By the preaching of the Word of God, by the preaching of the gospel. You know, this word okidom is the word edify more often than not. It also is the word building. Well, it means to edify, but it identifies with building. It's used some 18 times in the Bible, and it always brings into the picture of the edifying of the body of Christ. We read, for instance, in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, "Let us therefore follow after all things which make for peace, the things wherewith one may okidome another, or edify another, to build up another." And again, by the preaching of the gospel. That's how we build each other up. We don't use our own tools. We don't use our own food. We use the word of God, the bread of life. In Romans chapter 15, we read in verse 2, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his goods to edification, to okidome, to build up." In 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's okidome," or God's building. It's God that is edifying. It is God that is building through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. You know, the gospel is preached because he makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we bring his message and not our own, line upon line, precept upon precept, without adding or taking away. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to build up, and exhorting, and comfort." So again, this word edification, okidome, for the purpose of building the construction, the building of Christ, the body of Christ, the wife of Christ, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, as we have learnt in Ephesians. 1 Corinthians 14:5, "I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification," or edifying, or okidome, to be built up. And of course, that brings us back to the word of God. The tongues that is in view here indeed is the tongues that we were discussing a little earlier. And those tongues is really the words of God in the Bible that has not yet been given. That which is perfect had not yet come. But then when that which is perfect comes, and that which is in part will be done away with. So tongues shall cease. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 14:12, "Even so, ye, for as much as ye be zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the okidome of the church," or the edifying of the church, or the building up of the church. And of course, ultimately, that is focusing in on the body of Christ again. That is the building of God. That is the building made without hands. That is the city that Abraham seeked, whose builder and maker is God. A construction made without hands by the will of God, Christ himself. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, it's very interesting that Corinthians, which is the epistles, the 1 and 2, that focused in so much on the tongues, and really it doesn't. It really is only one chapter that really gives a big focus on tongues and is very clear on how it's to be handled and dealt with, the proper way for it to be used. But it is also Corinthians that seems to be so rich in focusing in on the edifying by the okidome, by the preaching of the word of God, the building up of the body of Christ by the sharing of the gospel. And again, that gospel brings us right back to the word of God, Genesis to Revelations. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away. So 1 Corinthians 14:26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto okidome, unto edifying, unto the building up of the body of Christ." 2 Corinthians 14:18, While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have an oikodom, a building of God, a house made without hands, eternal in the heavens. The body of Christ is in view here. A house made without hand. And God identifies that as the oikodom. And the word oikodom is edifying and building up. And we do that by the preaching of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 13:10, we read, "Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me, to edification, to oikodom, and not to destruction, to the building up of the body of Christ." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being that corner, that chief cornerstone, in whom all of the oikodom, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord." Let me read it the way the King James puts it. "In whom all the building, or the oikodom, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Christ sitting in our hearts, ruling and reigning. In whom ye are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." The Holy Spirit. "If you have not the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his," the Lord tells us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the oikodom of the body of Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man." And that's the body of Christ, the perfect man. You know, we have the perfect word. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. That word perfect is the word tilius, a tilius. That which is tilius would come, and that is the word of God. And that word of God dwells in the body of Christ. And when that body of Christ is complete, then we have the tilius man, the tilius body, Christ himself being the very head and the cornerstone of that temple, of that body, and we being his bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, having the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which moves through the body to lead us in the knowledge of the things of God. The tilius man. Verse 13, "Till we all come," how long? "Till we all come into the unity of the faith," when the last person is saved, "and to the knowledge of God, the Son of God." Till we all come onto that perfect body, that perfect man, onto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint of the body of Christ by the preaching of the word of God supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or to the oikodom of itself in love." And that's by the preaching of the gospel, by the word of God. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds." We have the mind of God. We're to be like-minded. We're to have the mind of Christ. Christ commands us to have the mind of Christ. And we find that mind between the books of Genesis and Revelations. Nothing added and nothing taken away. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Let me go back and reread that. Verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Don't walk in the vanity of your own mind, or the vanity of the mind of the flesh, the mind of the world, the mind of the kingdom of Satan. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, which of the blindness becoming... because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given, let me reread that, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, by the renewing of the spirit of the mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And of course that is becoming part of the body of Christ, and Christ dwelling within you. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are the members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of okidome. Again, building up, edifying the body. But that which is good to the use of okidome, that it may minister grace unto the hearer, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, those who grieve the Holy Spirit of God, so to speak, is a picture of that going against what the Spirit is preaching and teaching. Thus saith the Lord. And then others came and say, not so, it's this way and it's that way. Trying to lead men after their own minds and building themselves as being something and nothing they are, because it is God that is our focus, and it is God that is, if there is anything, it is found in God and not in men. But that which is good to the use of okidome, or edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiven one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for the sweet-smelling savor. So, we are to build up the body of Christ. We are to edify, and this is to be done by the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing. Is not this the way to assemble ourselves together, to exhort one another, and much the more as you see the day approaching? I want to reread that, and let's take note. God doesn't bring in tongues into this picture here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and singing. Is not this the way to assemble ourselves together, to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching? Is not this what the body of Christ is doing today, and so much more since we do see the day approaching? So the assembling, it is true. The assembling, the purpose of the assembling was for the edifying of the body of Christ, for provoking the body of Christ in love, for correction, and for building, for okidom. That was the purpose of going to church on a Lord's Day, and to spend the whole day in the Lord, ultimately, which the churches have failed in both cases miserably, the corporate churches, that is. And so during the church age, that's exactly what the body of Christ had been doing. So what should the body of Christ be doing today? The very same thing it was doing during the church age, only except we do it outside of the corporate body. We don't have elders. Oh, and the body of Christ has never had elders. The body of Christ was the elder in the church. It was Christ in the body that was the elder in the church. Men never lorded over, in the body of Christ, men never lorded over the body of Christ. It was Christ who lorded over the body of Christ. He is the Lord. He is the elder in the true church of God. It is we who are the woman, spiritually speaking, who is to be silent in the church and the body of Christ, saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and say what he said, not what we want to say. And the woman, the riotous woman, has taken over the pulpit and is saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and quotes her own words and preaches their own gospel and leads them to another Jesus, and behind that veil brings us right to Satan himself. Is not this the way to assemble ourselves together, to exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching? All right, anyway, with that, I'm going to end that. It was a short little look at the word assembling, and what exactly does that mean, and we have never stopped that. You know, I know it was mentioned before that the idea for many who disagree with what we have found to be true, many would say, "Well, you people sound just like a church. You act like a church." Even more so in certain areas, like for instance, e-Bible, okay, the way that is set up, because they get involved with a lot of hymn singing, or at least a little bit, and they go through the process of a preacher coming on, and so on and so forth, and it's a whole new whole process that looks just like a church, but the difference is that there is no breaking of the bread and passing of the cup in a physical sense. There is no pastor, and there is no elders. There is no one to be accountable for. We go straight to Christ to be accountable by him. And so if the body of Christ looks like a church, well, it should, because it is the true church of God. You know, it is the corporate church that has continued without the body and is mimicking some of the things of the true body of Christ, and in order that it might deceive men, because they are leading men after themselves, and that's how they do it, by deceiving the people to think that God is there, and to lead people again to themselves instead of onto the Lord. We would expect to be studying scriptures. We would expect to be hearing some really good, faithful Bible teaching, line upon line, precept upon precept. We should expect to be hearing some faithful hymns being sung from time to time, and some beautiful music that is very biblical, as we look into God's Word and see God's Word richly in the singing, by the singing of the psalms and spiritual songs and so on. All right, again, let me end that there, and if anybody has any questions or comments or any subject to take a look at, any Bible verses to look at, or any corrections that could be made by anything that we teach in this room, now's the time to lift up the hand and bring them up.